Blog Talk Radio.
We're a little different. There's no need to be ashamed. You got the light.
Yes, 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 my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed, we're back again. Back again for another episode. Back again for another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, NMI, yes, indeed, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Thankful to the Most High and welcoming you to the show. For the Most High has told me that I indeed have for him some very important things for him to do. And he told me because of what I must do that surely without question I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. Well, and he told me nevertheless that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, he said I would have his protection and his guidance. For that, I am utmost thankful. The Most High has told me that yes, indeed, I must tell you things. Well, he's told me, yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and to destroy. For the Most High sends prophets. Yes, my brothers and sisters, he sends prophets with his spirit, his testimony. To speak, my brothers and sisters, what others could not, would not, men must learn what it is to revere and honor Yah. Men must learn what it is, human, my brothers and sisters, must learn what it is not to lie. Men must learn what it is, my brothers and sisters, in hearing from Yah, what it is to speak a word that transcends the status quo prison houses. Of that are the multitude of diversities, political, social, and religious that we see in this world. Most High sends men with his spirit, my brothers and sisters, not that men exalt themselves, but that they exalt him. It's they who humble themselves, my brothers and sisters, who shall exalt him, and they who humble themselves, my brothers and sisters, who themselves, unto the glory of Yah, even the glory of his name shall be exalted, for there is no name greater. It's time we understand, my brothers and sisters, and realize what is the truth. I'd like to read a little bit of scripture to you before we begin concerning something Messiah said to his people Israel. He said to them, and ultimately, my brothers and sisters, it is a word to all those who would believe in the Messiah, according to the purpose and cause for which he is sent. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Yah. I want you to think about even that verse, my brothers and sisters, before we go further. Shall any man be called truly a peacemaker, truly unto the reconciliation of mankind, after the will of the one Most High, being disciplined after the designs of any other? Something to think about. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. How shall come this peace? What is righteousness? Blessed are they who persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of the Most High. Did he say there's the kingdom of those falling short? Or the kingdom, my brothers and sisters, of him who is supreme above all? Let's examine these words and examine them closely. There's a need to understand. There's a need to consider the hyperdimensionality of what has been said beyond what seems apparent to many on the surface. He said, blessed are ye when men revile you. Blessed are you when men what? Blessed are thee when men revile you. When men shall revile you and persecute you. And persecute you. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward on high in the kingdom of heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets, the inspired men, those who had a testimony from on high, which were before you. I would only tell you this, my brothers and sisters, we must understand the purpose for which the prophets came. The Most High sent men after his spirit. Let's consider what Messiah said, I am from above, not from below. He said to those who were contentious against them, he said, you are of this world. I am not of this world. What do you mean? I'm talking about Yohanan, John, 8:23. He said, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not under of this world. He said, therefore unto them. He said to them, you shall die in your sins. What do you call sins? For if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. My brothers and sisters, the Most High command man to divide this world after a multitude of diverse, short-sighted, and partial standards, not true to the will of one, forgetting that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, the Most High sent prophets, not that the world should become all the more divided and contentious after the self-exaltations of men, but he always sent prophets that men ultimately might know the will of the One Most High, to exalt him above all else. What does Scripture say about who shall ascend to the hills of the Most High? Psalms, what is it, 24? Who shall ascend to the hills of the Most High? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall... Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Who shall ascend to the hills of the Most High? We're not talking about being imprisoned after the short-sightedness of men's rule. Who shall stand in his holy place? But he who has clean hands, how about his works pure after divine purpose? Who has clean hands and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, who receives his righteousness from the Holy One of salvation. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. How many are they, my brothers and sisters, that understand that men have sought to establish a multitude of their own institutionalities? There were already a multitude of varied pulpits, temples, religiosities, so-called varied nations, and now, my brothers and sisters, many denominations in this world. That the Most High send Messiah to exalt what were already the prison houses of this world, or that men should be set free. My Messiah said, if you are my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, because of man's lack of knowledge, that they are subject to so many diverse persuasions in this world? Lack of knowledge is the root of man. Lack of knowledge is not the gospel. Lack of knowledge is not the root of the Holy Kingdom. The lack of knowledge we see in the world, my brothers and sisters, is the misrule by which men sustain darkness rather than men coming to the light. The prophets, brothers and sisters, were anointed for the express purpose, I said for the express purpose, that they revealed to the world a testimony that man had a tendency, after self-exaltation and after the rationalities of their rulers, to forget. Scripture says the Holy Spirit teaches all things, brings all things to remembrance. I see a caller. Give me just a moment. To reveal those things, my brothers and sisters, which men have had a tendency to forget, seeking to exalt himself, to rebuke all sin, all the error, the partialities, the pollutions that have stagnated the minds. And my brothers and sisters, for the express purpose, the world might know from on high what is the will of one. But my question, my brothers and sisters, has that been the liberation of the churches? Has that been the liberation of the pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, kings? Has their deliberation been unto true peace, or has it simply been to preserve their own avocations, designs, and ideals? Much to think about, my brothers and sisters, with regard to the entirety of what this present worldly matrix confusion. Snares, my brothers and sisters, that have been more concerned with men and their own ideals, presiding over congregations and nations, than liberating the world and discerning the exceeding will of the one. I feel like there's something that you need to know that's missing, that you were to know it, let's just say you feel like you would be liberated and there would be whatever is presently obstacles.
Yes.
In so many ways would be removed.
Mm-hmm.
I would have you to know, simply stated, that the entire world global system that we live in today, if you want to call it life, actually, without question, top to bottom, tore up. Every single system that men see in it today, I repeat, every single one of them, is in so many ways due to either its blindness, treachery, or dereliction of duty. Neglect is in so many ways allied unto one purpose. There are very, very particular fundamental truths with regard to the gospel that they have not taught, prefer that none of you ever know, so that as long as the only options you oftentimes trust are those that you see, those truths are always left to your blindness. The scriptures tell us that when that truth is known, all the systems of the earth, cities, nations of earth, will fall. Scriptures tell us that when that truth is known, the scriptures talk about the wicked are those who would hide the truth from you, per se being exposed, slain, cut off. There's a lot of different words that's used for it. Pass away. That the obstacle, when it is removed, the scripture says, a couple of ways it's put it, Isaiah 11 says, unto him shall the, well, the scripture says, to him shall, well, his rest shall be glorious. To him shall all the nations seek, and his rest shall be glorious. It speaks about one of the scriptures called Shiloh. It says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Most High says that he will overthrow this system. The scriptures talk about it. Overthrow the nature of this system. In the eyes of many, three times, till the one comes to whom it belongs, and he will give it to him. The truth of the matter is, I'm telling you now, that every single system on this earth, they claim to be representatives of the Most High. They claim to be representatives of peace. But the gospel of peace is not according to any of the divisive systems we see in the world, not after any of the partialities, nor the perversions or pollutions that we see that refuse to tell men one of what is the biggest secret in the Bible. And that is, when Messiah comes, in order that the men recognize the supremacy or the sovereignty of one, every single pastor, priest, rabbi, elder, and those who have followed them will in some way have to be reproved for their complicity, not seeking the ultimate salvation of this world, but oftentimes seeking to exalt, whether they understand it or not, themselves. Understand what I mean by that? It says, the humble shall be exalted.
Yes.
It says plainly then, my brothers and sisters, I keep telling folks this all the time. I repeat it often on this show. There's a reason why Messiah said, the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek, to open the eyes of the blind. Now, this is the Spirit and the testimony from on high, transcendent what is ordinary to men. So if he says that the Spirit of Yah is upon him, or that testimony has been given unto him by that Spirit to preach good tidings to the meek, then it's not a word that those who seek to be exalted and flattered after this world, it's not a word that they are willing quickly to hear. If everybody was preaching the gospel of that kingdom, why is the world divided into a multitude of kingdoms and men contentious as to what is even the way of peace? One scripture says, in fact, a few scriptures says that the Messiah comes, he will have to lead the people by a way that they have not known, the way of peace. Isaiah 59:16 says, the way of peace they have not known, meaning that most do not even consider the word for peace even relates to what is complete. The gospel of peace is the gospel of completion. It's talking about seeking the fullness of the word. You can't subdivide it in any way and still be true to the will of one. It's just not possible. A whole world is about to be reprimanded simply because, though Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments, preserve then the nature of his conscience, the sanctity of his name, don't allow the intrusions of others to disrupt or seek to destabilize the nature of what is the faith. But that has not been the goal of the institutions we see in the world today. The goal of these institutions, as I said before, has been to preserve the various pulpits, to preserve the various thrones, to preserve, let's just say, institutions which flatter men in their ignorance, in their indiscretion, still wanted to call it wise.
Come on, Holy
and quite God. Frankly, this very morning, one of the things that was Most High woke me up with is that a whole world is about to find out just how treacherously far from righteousness it's been. Even how damnable this system has been, because men have been much more concerned with comforting and appeasing themselves rather than asking the Most High what is necessary that we be able to genuinely bless one another. This competitive society we live in has made the entirety of what men today call Christianity a sham. It has not been unto the will of one, but preserving the divisive ideals of many.
Come on, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
And the scriptures
blank
in 2 Thessalonians that what has occurred is that men, having loved darkness, well, look at Yohanan, John 3:14 through 21. It talks about men loving darkness more than light. 2 Thessalonians says they had a preference for unrighteousness Even if you want to put it that way, the intrusions of the principalities and powers, the powers of perdition, that men have no longer recognized their iniquity. Get the point. Loving darkness more than light, preferring unrighteousness, believing lies, having no love for the greater truth.
Come on, Holy Spirit.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is a truth that the whole world has chosen to ignore, men seeking first the favor of men rather than the ultimate truth that praises Yah himself. His very name means that he is all and everything that he is. And when institutions choose to subdivide that or pervert it as they will to appease themselves, that is not the will of Yah. That is the perversitudes of man. The Most High does not call men to institutions. I repeat, he does not call men to institutions that they, if you will, are left in boxes which will never tell them the truth or never set them free. When Messiah said, if you're my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, you must admit that you will know the truth the world would not tell.
Thank you, Lord. I
can only tell you, amongst other things, just to begin with, that website of mine, hiddengospel.com.
Yes, sir.
I can only tell you, I'm really truly thankful for this personally, is that I have to give glory to the Most High, because when I had my call, I'm going to just be frank with you, I was not in the churches. I'm really thankful for that. I didn't have to get that junk thrown out of my head. I was not in the churches. And quite frankly, I had a lot of other interests. I could tell you about that too. It kept a lot of my time, kept a lot of my focus. For that, I'm thankful, because like I said, I might have been otherwise in the church and have my head filled with a whole lot of contradictive doctrine that simply just makes no sense.
Right, that's so true.
And
quite frankly,
let's be real about it. A multitude of contradictions can never be true to the will of one. And when they tell you that they can, let's be real about this. If you have hired speakers that will flatter a congregation of folks like some of these mega pastors, flatter people from all kind of different denominations and belief systems, have they worked to purify things, to reconcile things under the absolution of the will of one, or have they sought to fight a battle? Thank you, Father. I can only say that at the very beginning, I am very thankful that the Most High told me from the very beginning some huge secrets, that he soon, when I started to read a Bible, he showed them to me on scrolls actually before I ever began to read a Bible. And when I did read the Bible, I found them there. And I can only say that from that time forward, it has always compelled me not to seek men for knowledge, but to ask him. It's not faith in Yah, especially if the Most High begins to show you the thing that the world by and large either has not known or ignored. And in spite of it, when you receive those truths, you still choose to believe a scheme that it won't even consider those ideas or those proclamations from the Creator. I can just simply tell you something that might sound like a shock to most people, but I'm not talking inside the status quo. The appearing of Messiah that people expect to come, still yet to come. The prophecies don't say Messiah comes once or twice. It actually says three times. And most have no idea of who and how he came before 2,000 years ago. The prophecies do tell. Okay? I can prove that in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, just Isaiah alone, let alone some of the things you find in the book of Malachi, some of the things you find in the book of Zechariah. There's prophecies in the Bible that speak about what is called, what I call them, the secret city prophecies, that are reflected pretty much in every book of the Bible, with the exception of, or intimated in some ways, every book of the Bible, especially Old Testament prophets, maybe with the exception of the book of Daniel. Practically every one of intimates that expectation. or what I call the secret city prophecies that actually say, if you want to look it up for yourself, I mean, hey, right there.
No, I have faith. I don't have to look it up. I have faith. I believe what you're telling me. I believe the word of God. I can hear it, and your voice is
Zephaniah.
Just clear. I can see it.
I thank y'all for this. Zephaniah in the third chapter, for instance, makes it pretty easy for some if they want to see it in the first five verses in the third chapter of Zephaniah 3. It speaks about Messiah being in the midst of a city that is considered lawless, confused, wicked.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it doesn't even have any idea what the plan is. Men are oftentimes, like I say, when you have pastors who are willing to flatter men wherever they are in conscience, who then is inclined to pursue the greater truths? Every half-truth and lie that men believe is an obstacle against seeking to discern the greater truths. But those scriptures in Zephaniah 3 speak about Messiah in the last days in the midst of that city, of a city that's specifically mentioned, that's mentioned over and over and over and over again in Scripture. It even tells you where it is in the Bible. You can find out where it is, calls it out by name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can only tell you that the Scripture said he would be in the midst of that city, warning the people, and they would not listen. The Scripture said that city would be destroyed because that city is an example of all the misgiving, all the frailties, all the folly, all the treacheries of man, and the faulty institutions of man, and pseudo-religious institutions, and political institutions, and polytheistically polluted systems of man across the globe. And the Most High basically would use that as a stance to rebuke all the fallen standards of an entire world. I will tell you this. I tell you this, give a close look to that article on the website, hiddengospel.com, the one with God, what it's called, they call Secret City, it's one called Secret City Prophecies. I can only tell you that as much as the city that is mentioned, it is very much so, let's just say, because of the rebelliousness of man. I only say this to you. You've probably seen the movie Matrix. I can only tell you this to you, say this to you right off the top, that let's just say very few really realize just how deep the rabbit hole goes. There's a lot to awaken to if we're going to talk about truly overcoming this thing that they call the world. And quite frankly, I'm just going to tell you, most have never even had the foundation upon which to begin to grow. A lot of people feel like something's wrong, but in so many ways, they're still seeking, let's just say, to preserve the very faulty foundation that they need to escape. It's very difficult for someone to overthrow Babylon's tower when they themselves are part of, let's just say, its brickwork. Okay? So all I can tell you right off the top, from the beginning, is this. Please, give yourself an opportunity to read some of the things that I've been talking about that relate some of that foundation material so that whenever you see anything else written that the Most High has given or anything that he reveals, you read it and take it with consideration of that knowledge, so that you will have something, let's just say, steadfast upon which to found your reasoning. Notice the scripture says that when that truth is known, the systems of the earth fall. And it even goes one step further, saying the stone are the premises of truth, which the builders of all these institutions, get my point, refused or rejected, must become the chief stone of the corner. You ever stop to consider then that the truth the whole world chooses to ignore is the truth that will make the world again steadfast. I apologize that some of the things we wanted to, the direction of the conversation, we kind of curtailed for a moment. But I want the doors to be open for conversation. I do. But, of course, we have to make sure that the conversation is still in line with the subject matter at hand. Getting back to what I was saying, I kind of related and intimated some of the things that I wanted to talk about tonight with regard to the very nature of the structures that most have a tendency to call Christian today. But you notice the scripture says, blessed are they when they revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, or for my sake. Do people really believe that the Most High sends men with his Holy Spirit to speak a testimony that is exacting, even unto an absolution? Realizing that whenever the Most High sent prophets, it was for the express purpose of healing the people. I did not say leave them contentiously divided after the debate, the doubt, and the double-mindedness of this present world. I find it amazing that, as I mentioned earlier, that there are a multitude of pastors who are considered, hey, some people call them mega churches, mega pastors, whatever, who have people from all manner of denominations. And I got news for you. I'm actually here in Houston, Texas. And some of you know what's in Houston. And I happen to know some people. I'm just not going to say a whole lot more about it, but I happen to know some people who have some eyes on some things, who have knowledge of certain inner workings of certain congregations. And quite frankly, some of these congregations, I will tell you, have people in them, not necessarily, if you will, even what status quo calls Christian. Hey, the pastor may call himself a believer, may call himself a Christian, but it's really about anything goes, whatever will bring offerings to his organization, if you want to call it that. People who are Islamic, Orthodox, Rabbinical, of Rabbinical Judaism. People that are Buddhist, maybe Hindu, whatever. Motivational speaker. Well, there's a reason why he can't speak about a lot of specifics that are contained in the scriptures. This is a man who would flatter every spirit that would keep the people far from ever attaining to any sense of absolution or pure completion that is absolutely required of any and every soul that would make an oath in the name of the Most High. So you got to ask a question. If they're not about declaring the absolution that the Most High would have his people to discern, that are men convert beyond all of what have been partialities and pollutions, political, social, and religious across the world, they've not been about reproving the sin. And the scripture says, if a prophet is one who has truly heard his voice, he would turn men from their sins. Messiah said, unless you believe that I am he, you would die in your sins. How about never realizing how your allegiance is to the various standards that men have established to exalt themselves have kept you ensnared, encaged, and in fact, my brothers and sisters, blinded, never to discern fully all that you need to know, and nothing upon the firmity that is required to build and preserve not only the sanctity of the holy name, but to preserve that truth as it is required for every single soul who would make an oath in the name of the Most High. Think about it. Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That means to preserve and maintain the sanctity of his word, the sanctity of the precepts of his thoughts. When men have gone to institutions, and pastors know that many come for that purpose, simply to be comforted or flattered after what is their present state of conscience. I did not say gathering, seeking the greater truth, to reason fully together after the will of the Most High, the men discern beyond themselves, but simply to be flattered where they are. Did you ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, that many, never realizing that the purpose for which the gospel was sent was that men exceed these flatteries, exceed these bribes, exceed these partialities, men seeking simply even willing to pay men to flatter them. has been total, completely treachery against the hope of the gospel of peace. It has been a total sham against the purpose for which Messiah came and gave his life. If he said, go forth and teach all nations everything he declared, then those who teach less in order to flatter people in their ignorance are a divisive, deviant, even damning influence. I repeat, a divisive, even damning, sinful, let's just say perverse, appendage of a devil, whose express purpose is that men never come to true in the Most High agreement. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Think about it. Men having generic degrees from institutions, I repeat, from institutions, which pass out Doctor Divine Science, as they say, degrees, where the pastors can take them to any denomination they will and be called licensed to preside over them. It means that these institutions are about not about the absolution that is the Holy Spirit in the first place. It's not after the Holy Spirit that you sit back and flatter everybody's lies and everybody's illusions, everybody's pretenses, and everybody's opinions. Most High told me that I have some important things for him to do. And my brother and sister, it was never about fatal flattery. All scripture relates again and again, the Messiah comes for the express purpose. I hope you hear me. The Messiah comes for the express purpose to reprove and to rebuke and to expose wherever it is men have sought comfort under institutions, which will only ensnare the mind, never set them free. Think about it. He said, the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek, to open the eyes of the blind. How about men not realizing what they were in was prison houses? Not realizing that the greater truth they were never told. We're not realizing the greater light they never saw. Not realizing they were in prison houses, my brothers and sisters, that would never, ever open their minds to see beyond the walls of these institutions or the constraints, the short-sightedness of these institutions that, quite frankly, I can't tell you how many pastors have told me directly when I asked them about certain scripture. And when I really wanted to get down to it, they told me about, yes, they know those scriptures in the Bible, but they said to me such things as, we don't talk about those scriptures in our church. There are institutions that do talk about them, or they say we talk about them behind closed doors. But they say the people either don't know or don't want. This is what they claim. They make that judgment. Either don't know or don't want these things. They presume that you don't want to know then these truths. They presume that you want to be flattered. They tell me, like I said, they say it's not about what, I have one say it's not about what Jesus, I would not use the name Jesus, Yahshua. They tell me it's not about what the Savior said or what the Bible said. It's about them having a profession, an avocation. And that means that the institutions that pass out these doctor of divinity degrees, which pass out these generic degrees, and those who receive them, and hey, like I said, in order to pass the test, they have to pass tests after a word that is complicit or compromised after all the ideals of the many of them. Hey, just like people that call themselves chaplains in hospitals, I've heard people sit back and tell me, well, we got folks here, we got somebody here, hey, whatever you believe, he'll come back and pray with you. The scripture says he will not hear the law of the Most High. How about the absolute will of the Most High, even his prayers an abomination? I've had people, quite frankly, who told me they would pray for me after I told them about truths that they did not know, that were completely unfamiliar with them. And they said to me such things as they would pray for me. I don't want anybody to pray for me to begin in their cage. When scriptures talk about the Shema, Hear, O Israel, Yah is one. We must love the Most High with all our minds, heart, soul, and might. We love our neighbor as ourselves. That means when we say shalom to one another, petitioning in the holy name, petition one another that we have peace. That is actually, my brothers and sisters, or it should be recognized as a petition in the name of the Most High, that all be made complete, even beyond ourselves, be made complete after the mind of the Most High that He would reveal. Think about it. When the gospel was sent forth, the Most High sent His Holy Spirit and sent His testimony through His apostles. He wasn't going about saying, go forth and tell the nation what they already know, but tell them what they don't know, that they might convert, that then men might seek the greater truth. But when men run the institutions, simply to be flattered on the faulty based upon the faulty foundations of what they think already was knowledge, and they're not willing to seek what the scriptures actually declare is the foundation, what the Most High declared from the beginning, what is also eternal, and they are willing to believe a multitude of, let's just say, false expectations, false prophets teaching false testimony, teaching expectations that are actually not written, only a supposition relative to people not having sufficient knowledge in the first place. When men run to such institutions as this, unwilling to factor in the truth that expose the misimaginations they have been taught, is that an oath to the Most High? Or is it an oath against knowledge that men might not be recognized themselves as deceived? When the first thing the Most High told me, I'm just getting back to foundation now. He told me, with regard to the things that I had to tell people, he said, men have rather believed a liar than believe they have been deceived. He told me that in advance, my brothers and sisters. But he told me I had to speak, realizing that I knew nothing. I realized. Compelled me to realize I knew nothing. Yes, he told me about these words that he's given me being very precious, but only for the most humble soul. That means that those who are prideful, self-righteous, just simply want to make their points rather than realizing, there is an exactitude beyond themselves. Those who are not willing to seek beyond themselves for that truth have actually made false oaths and never had faith in Yah in the first place. They just trusted simply in what they presumed after what they heard from men. I ask a whole lot of folks this question. I would like to ask them. Men are in a lot of institutions they call churches. I'd like to ask the question, did the Most High tell folks to join the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, the Presbyterian Church, or any of these institutions? Did he tell them to join institutions that when Messiah comes, men are not prepared to follow him to the reproof of all those institutions? Did you really think the Most High sent and called men to institutions that will never open their minds to discern the truth of how Messiah comes and for what purpose he comes, especially since that purpose has to be in order to establish a firm foundation to expose all the false righteousnesses of men? I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Did the Most High call men by his Spirit to be ensnared and trapped, or to be awakened to the truth they had not known? Which? And what I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, and I repeat to you again, that the institutions of man, according to all that is written in the scriptures, will be found to have not actually been the gospel of the one kingdom that is only attained in overcoming the world. Like I said, it's not been the gospel at all. I've said it so many times. I see a few people in the chat. If you're a little bit new. But there's a reason why Messiah said your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders. If your leaders are compromised after the short-sightedness of their own hearts, and they have not told you to expect Messiah to reveal a level of truth transcendent their own, then have they called you to awaken to the greater reality? Or have they called you to be stagnated, even stupefied, after the constraints of their shallow-mindedness? Which? I would pray, my brothers and sisters, you understand the meaning of the scriptures that says, if any man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for his sin, but he's ready for the fire of damnation that consumes them as adversaries. I said them as adversaries. Not just the adversaries, but all those who are at antipathy against the truth. You ask the Most High for his spirit for the express purpose that your mind might be awakened and your conscience might be raised to discern those things which are not ordinary to men. And if in receiving that truth you prove that you didn't want it, that you make an oath unto the Most High in the first place. Scripture says, come, let us reason together. And that's the Most High calling men to reason, to ask him for the greater truth of his conscience. I did not say the shallow-mindedness. Or let's just say, I did not say according to the varied institutions of man wherein certain dimensions of truth are not even allowed. Is it reasonable, my brothers and sisters, to stand against what the Most High declared is truth? Truth does not deny truth. Light does not deny light. So if you see scriptures in the Bible that you see all institutions denying, you ever stop to consider that may be the most important truth of the whole book? That's the reason why I put together that website, hiddengospel.com. Because, quite frankly, many are making judgments, drawing conclusions, and without some of the secrets that you'll find there. I said, without some of the secrets that are found there, many will continue to declare statements, draw conclusions, which will always leave them misdirected. The word of Yah is indeed like a sharp two-edged sword. It declares an absolute point. I hope you will hear me. Pray you will hear me. It declares an absolute point, but it cuts both against those who are rebellious and though even those who would be righteous who still need correction. It reproves both the leaders and also the people. The question, my brothers and sisters, is when the point of the matter is related that all must attain to. The question is, who is willing to hear that word? Everybody's word, my brothers and sisters, is not the word that all must learn to respect, complete and pure, that all must come to respect, whereby there might be peace. There wouldn't be 45,000 denominations in the world, 280 nations in this world, if all were speaking a pure and perfect word. Purity and completion offers one choice, meaning that it's the result of deviation, still a result of the fall. And if men are so concerned about their institutions that they're not concerned about learning the truth, that would be to the blessing and the deliverance and the awakening and the freeing, the liberating of all. That there's no more obstacles against the truth. And men have been more concerned about maintaining these obstacles, either advertently or not. The truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, men have been complicit with the damnation of one another and not their freedom. Those who are called to faith know that there's a lot of truth that has been missing, in fact, long forgotten in the minds of men. There wouldn't be a need for a time of refreshing that is mentioned in Acts 3:18-23. I understand there are those who might hear my voice and believe, but truly I would pray that the hearts be driven, do more than just listening, but also examine where the scriptures relate these things, seeking to get the entire context of it all. Because guess what? Beyond hearing my words, you need to have it in your heart, these words in your heart. Know where they are. There are others that need the help that you would offer in knowing these things. And I would pray that many come to understand, quite frankly, without question, no question about it. And I can concur with the sentiments of many, because I've often said, Father, I don't know what I don't know what I need to know, don't know what's been stuck in my mind, it's been an obstacle against my understanding, but Father, you know, and if you don't tell me, I won't know. Well, I can even go as far as to say that there's a lot of people who will never be delivered after the words that I speak, lest the Most High have first confirmed that they need to be giving attention. I would call them very blessed, because I promise you, there's a lot of things that, well, like I said, I've been saying a lot of things over Blog Talk now for close to two and a half years, almost 3 years. Website has a tremendous amount of information, about close to 50-odd articles there. And the greater majority of what is there, most have never even considered. I find that a shame. We've been talking about things like the scriptures talk about having your feet, in the book of Ephesians, having your feet shod. The gospel of peace, helmet of salvation upon your head, breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. Scripture talks about having done all, and in the evil day, having done all, being able to stand. I've recently been dealing with those who would say that the times of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation that the scriptures mention actually in Matthew 24, the times of Jacob's trouble that are mentioned in Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 20, how about Jeremiah 30 going to 31. They speak of those things as something that is still yet to come. Well, when the scriptures talk about the evil day, it's talking about a day of great persecution that they knew was going to come. Immediately after the destruction of Jerusalem, and with the destruction of Jerusalem, and the years thereafter, millions were murdered. Rome murdered millions of people who would uphold the truth of the gospel, who would uphold the fullness of the truth of the gospel, that men not be persuaded to fall after the misconceits of another, that men not be blinded after the constraints of already pretentious, presumptuous, short-sightedness of their present kings, pastors, and rulers. They say, go forth and teach all nations everything that men might be converted. Well, millions were murdered in those first centuries. Scriptures talk about immediately after the time of Jerusalem's fall, which occurred in 70 A.D., the Great Tribulation. Murderous times, those named times were not short and no flesh would be delivered. It did not say the Messiah would come after that time, so it's not talking about the latter days. Instead, after that time would come a rise of false prophets. Jerusalem fell in 70 A.D., my brothers and sisters. You ever stop to consider that the scripture said from the time of that intrusive pretense within the temples, and according to 2 Thessalonians, it says there will be a rise of false prophets, and said the pretense will remain until Messiah himself returns in the latter days to expose the lie. What does it mean about what we see in the world today? The scripture talks about the preparation of the gospel of peace. How many understand that the preparation of the gospel of peace is the preparation being prepared with a word so that when the nations seek to beguile men after a multitude of the misallegiances that exist in the world, the Babylonish confusion that exists in the world, the contradictions and contentions in the world, having done or having sought all the Most High has said, you might be able to stand against the illusion. It happened, my brothers and sisters, long ago. So much so that what we see today is by and large both perverted, polluted, short-sighted, treacherous testimony that is not, let's just say, does not have the strength to deliver any man. Not fully. Scripture says, therefore, they who wait for the Lord to renew their strength, those who know to look for him to reveal a truth that is beyond your leaders, they are the ones who shall be restored to spiritual power and strength. Said those who believe in him, he gives them power to become the sons of Yah, disciplined and taught by Yah. I did not say by anyone less. What I mean by that, my brothers and sisters, that if you even hear from someone whom the Most High has touched, you still need the Spirit of the Most High, that those words are kept on an even keel and balance in your mind. Messiah said, there are many things I long to tell you, but you cannot bear, grasp, receive them yet, he said. Because he said at the time, the Comforter has not come. But if men have not asked the Most High for his Spirit to discern the truth, the world has not known that these greater truths be a blessing and a healing to mankind. My brothers and sisters, men have forgotten what Messiah meant when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Preserve the integrity of a word, his sovereignty, his conscience, that men not be beguiled to follow after another, not discerning truly who he is and his word. And it's after that, like what the scripture says, the gospel be hid, the exceeding word be hid, it's hid the men that are lost. Well, guess what? Not knowing the exceeding word that's beyond the cage, men are lost in the cages. How many of my brothers and sisters are willing to understand this? Most High told me this morning that many will find that they were absolutely lost for generations. Because seeing the world and the mass of its conflicts and its contradictions, believing, rather than believing that Yah is one and that his people must be one, they've been satisfied seeing what? However many denominations and groupings they see in the world, willing to gamble and just simply believe the one that they chose. Willing to believe they want the one they chose. When Messiah said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he's saying by one truth. And I don't mean by anybody's misrepresentation. Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. I did not say anybody's misrepresentation might have life. Well, men, looking at all these differences, rather than seeking the truth that must be missing, which is why you see so much division, rather than seeking beyond the illusions and the pollutions that have caused so much contention, men have just simply sought the exaltation of men in institutions which flatter them according to their own minds, and haven't been concerned for the course of peace at all. And like someone said recently, if all the various religions of the world preach peace, why they have not attained peace? It's because they have not sought true peace. I see vast hypocrisy among the churches, my brothers and sisters. Like I said, Isaiah 41, I talk about it so many times, talks about truths. The scriptures say in advance, the rulers won't speak. Don't want to talk about Messiah coming to reprove them all so that men might recognize the will of one. Definitely don't talk about that city of confusion. Don't want to talk about the idea about Messiah appearing among men in the latter days. Isaiah 49. I said Isaiah 49. Saying Messiah will come saying, listen to me, O Isles, hearken to me, O you nation. The Most High has called me from the womb and from the body of my mother. He made mention of my name. And in the shadow of his hand has he concealed me to reveal his glory and to bring Israel back to him. And if you read on the scriptures on further, it talks about finally the destruction of this confusion once and for all. That's not somebody coming out of the sky, my brothers and sisters. But men blinding themselves to illusions have been to their own downfall. I would only tell you that when the Apostle Shaul talked about, told the people to put upon themselves the whole armor to be able to stand against the evil day, it means stand against all the illusions that are in the world presently. Do you think a liar tells you that he's lying to you if he wants to deceive you? So the scriptures talk about a great tribulation that brought and has wrought a multitude of false prophets not telling you the whole truth. False, fallen, foolish, deceptive standards, never enough, being the mainstay after which most have trusted, even to Messiah's return. And it says in the last days that illusion must be exposed, that pretense, the lies, the mysteries of iniquity be having to be exposed in 2 Thessalonians. Well, there will be no need to remind people of what they have forgotten. If men hadn't forgotten, there would be no need for a time of refreshing after the anointing of the Spirit that brings all things to remembrance. If that hasn't been true, the men have forgotten. There'd be no need to expose a lie if the lie hasn't already been around for a very long time. Do you think the adversary has waited till, 2,000 years to begin to attack the truth that went forth at the hands of the apostles in the early church? The book of Jude, Yehuda, says the men would take the grace of the other, the knowledge of the truth the Most High gives from on high, seek to pervert it after men's own lasciviousness, their own flesh, their own licentiousness, their own designs and desires. I want you to think about something. If men believe there's no absolute, and many will be find that they were complicit with a lie because they didn't want to believe the Most High declares an absolute simply because they did not know it. Shame. You ask the Most High to reveal to you the absolute that you might be a benefit to your brother. That's love. That's humility. However, if men are not willing to seek that perfect truth that the world has rejected, has it been love? Has it been love for Yah, or has it been love for men? After the love of the designs of men, can you forsake the favor of the Most High when it means seeking the praise of men means the damnation of men? You see all these contradictions, yet you only seek what flatters your own conscience. Refuse to believe that Yah is one, and that it's one testimony that must go forth to the whole world to bring a world to peace. Does that compel you not to seek what you don't know, or to ask the Most High what you don't know for the blessing of all? Which? Well, I can only tell you that the book of Philippians, for instance, 1st, 2nd, 3rd chapter, you need to read through it all very closely. It says, whoever is not willing to seek that perfect word, even that word beyond self, Scripture says, I tell you with tears, they're enemies against the very reason why Messiah gave his life, because think about it. Men not discerning the greater truth the Messiah sought to bring, so often prideful after their own contentions, sought to slaughter what they did not understand. And my brothers and sisters, how foolish is the man? I repeat, how foolish is the man who does not realize that he has hated the truth? I want you to understand something. Truth is what it is. The truth is what it is. Either you believe it to be called wise, or you don't believe it to be counted foolish. Whether you know it or not, the question, my brothers and sisters, how much have we considered that the early church realized that they must seek the exceeding wisdom beyond the rulers so that they might not be as foolish as were the rulers? Who's willing to understand that?
90 seconds.
Who's willing to discern the reality of why the Scriptures tell us we must seek the whole word today? If we know that none of these institutions are absolute, why are we not looking for him who will reveal what is? Our website, hiddengospel.com, speaks about much of this. I can only tell you there's a lot of Scripture that links Old Testament and New relating to what is or what was the expectation of the early church that the churches today don't even have any more in mind and heart. And the result of it is what? Men being satisfied in their confusion have given up on the hope of the gospel, seeking what merely flatters themselves and does not praise Yah at all. And the Scripture in Isaiah 40 speaks of it, and that this wise saying, the men are going to find out that all they believe before the Most High is counted like a drop in a bucket, utter complete vanity, unacceptable. When the world realizes what it has done in treachery against the Most High, the Scripture says it will silence the mouths of many, and men might recognize their guilt before Yah and seek his mercy unto repentance, that unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Well, I didn't get a chance to speak on about a lot of topics I want to talk about tonight, but I'm simply stating, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every year that he brings near. And to his might, to his honor, and to his praise always, hallelujah! Keep listening, my brothers and sisters. So much more still yet to be told.
You got